This man just doesn't learn, does he? At this date, he was 28 years old and impersonating a major. He must have really gotten good. Thank you. We'll have to back up a minute on the tape.
Stop here. Let everybody turn the tape. On the count of three, cough and clear your throat so that our people out there don't think out here in Giambriano land you've got a bad cold. One, two, three.
Comment from Hatton. Golly gee whiz, this man just doesn't learn, does he? At this date, he was 28 years old and impersonating a major. He must have really gotten good after all this experience of getting caught, because he could even enter a most top-secret military base with insignia upside down and was never noticed, hardly ever again. Quoting, apparently he served little, if any, time in New Orleans. Hatton, oops, does this failure to have to serve or get his massive criminal charges dismissed have anything to do with anything, or is this writer off his rocker? Quoting, on May 18, 1974, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison in Texarkana, Texas, on charges of securities fraud and impersonation. Hatton says, what securities fraud? Impersonating what? Quote, after his Texas prison term, he moved to Missouri and October 5th, 1986, was charged with stealing by deception, violating his probation. He was sent to a federal prison in Minnesota, according to the FBI. Hatton says, Texas? Prison in Minnesota while doing whatever in Missouri? Stealing what by deception? Violating what probation? To a federal prison? According to the FBI, what about the records, efficient writer? Quote, on his release, he returned to Missouri and opened a firm called National Brokerage Company in St. Charles. The company's letterhead listed him as chairman, using the alias Emery Peden. He said he held an MBA degree. Hatton. Okay, readers, here it gets really interesting. National Brokerage Company is a CIA proprietary business. Peden is the alternate alias by which he is now being held in prison for receiving a check for the company written by another of his alias CIA names. This is a $2,000 cleared with no account problems by the bank in charge of legal accounts and on which he was being held by a $450,000 cash-only bail charge. This man wrote himself a check, cashed it legally and rightfully through a legal bank with no charges or problems, and now he is being held on only that charge regarding a possible bad check charge in prison, with the $450,000 cash only bail. Sound right to you? Clark Clifford stole and processed billions of dollars through BCCI, and he just got released with all charges dropped 2 days ago because of ill health. Well, Gunther did just have a quintuple bypass heart surgery, emergency, diagnosed as having acquired hepatitis B, and you name it, so I guess that is typical justice from your constitutional justice judicial system. Quoting, during this period, Russ Balker started calling the St. Louis FBI office, telling them that he had valuable information. Russ Balker said he would provide information about drug trafficking if the OSI helped him with some immigration problems. The FBI acknowledges paying him as an informant for a short time, but said it did nothing to help him with the INS. on says FBI, OSI, and then came the ONS or INS. Which is it or what is it? If these all knew this imposter, then what in the soup do we have going on here? Quoting, payments stopped when agents determined that his information was useless. Hatton says, want to take a bet? Quoting, then according to the public record, his odyssey took its most dramatic turn. Hatton says, can hardly wait. With his wife, Russbacher drove to the gates of off of Air Force Base headquarters of the Strategic Air Command.
Now, this is the nuclear command, remember. You heard it right from him. This is the central nuclear weapons war effort, everything to do with nuclear weapons center.
That's the Strategic Air Command on July 19th. It says 1999, but I think it was 1992. Russbacher, posing as a Navy captain, had called ahead to make a reservation. He and his wife were given two keys to room 3208 in the VIP headquarters. He also obtained a visitor's pass and passes for his car. They stayed four nights. Hatton says, readers, I don't think I can lower myself so much as comment on these above things. Go back and read this stupid statement above. His wife testified, her testimony was stricken by the judge in St. Charles as irrelevant. Hatton says, yeah, I'm sure that that was the reason. According to that, she and her husband talked with then CIA Director William Webster at the Officers Club. Her story has never been corroborated, and a spokesman at Offutt said there is no record of Webster visiting the base. Hatton, remember, these honeymooners were there 4 days. Even honeymooners would have had to eat within 4 days. Is this idiot going to insult us further by allowing us to believe that her testimony is irrelevant and that now, after the prior writing to this document regarding Webster, that Webster has no record of ever visiting that base? That is one of the most utilized bases of the CIA. Or was Webster also an imposter, fooling the other half of all of the people all the time? It would seem to me that if Captain Russbacher called in advance for those VIP facilities, there would have been ample opportunity to at least check out his rank. From Offutt, they traveled to Reno. Hatton says, now hold your breath. Where Russbacher picked up a military uniform from a surplus store. He also procured blank government vouchers from the Federal Bureau of Land Management office there, which he later used to contract for charter service on the Learjet. Anton's comment. Not only is the story out of sequence, but it is further an insult to intelligence. Why would this officer, who was impersonating an officer already, have to go get a surplus uniform? Well, maybe the insignia was upside down and annoyed this orderly imposter. Something else you should know as me leaving this portion of garbage. The little Learjet taken by this imposter just happened to be the privately assigned, modified Blackbird jet of the head of the CIA, Casey. Also, I am curious as to what BLM vouchers. Quote, they just handed them over to him, said Special Agent Terry Scott of the FBI's Sacramento office. Hatton. Keep in mind that this is the same FBI which was spoke idiots at Waco and Ruby Creek Ridge, Idaho. Still feel comfy cozy on this night before Christmas, year 1993 of our Lord. Quote, a relative, Carol Barry, recalls it. Russbacher said he could command a plane at once, and he did, convincing a charter service that he was a federal prosecutor on a secret mission. Hatton says, Could this be the same relative for which Brinker was also charged with kidnap? Isn't this story filled with intrige? Quote, on July 27, 1990, Russ Barker again in a Learjet. No, not again. Watch this, because this is another craft. Surely enough, this Gunther bondsman feels once is not enough. Arrived at Crow's Landing Naval Air Station near the home of his wife's relatives. Apparently, his only interest in landing there was that it was the closest airfield. Lieutenant Commander William Carpenter, Hatton says, another good old Bill, who was not on the base at the time, said Russ Barker appeared to be flying legitimately in a government contracted plane. Lower level officers did not confront him. Hatton says, not on the base at the time, but he appeared to, quote, how could he appear to be anything if the man never saw the incredible bondsman with visible wife in tow to visit relatives? Quote, if you realize you are dealing with a captain, he said, it's so many grades removed it would be like asking a congressman for ID. But they probably should have. Hatton says, are you kidding me? Quote, on July the 30th, he drove to the gates of Castle Air Force Base wearing a Navy captain's whites with a military decal on his car. Hatton says, this man seems to have no limits to the accessibility of every kind of uniform, official craft, decals, flags, and you name it. He and his wife were issued keys for VIP quarters. Hatton, again? At a different base, even? How secure do you feel with the defense being lowered ever even lower? Well, I guess you didn't have any. Anyway, if one measly imposter and a little bride could fool the entire security system, military complex, and all personnel everywhere he went, I wonder if he was impostering a military officer when he was captured in Laos and the captors pulled out his fingernails over and over and over again. I bet he was. Quote, he claimed to be a Navy captain, said Lieutenant Todd Vishen. Hatton says, is this idiot still a lieutenant? I bet he is. Lieutenant Vishen is a public affairs officer at Castle, but his insignias were upside down. Hatton says, again, there is no limit to this imposter's chutzpah and temerity. Quoting, meanwhile, the FBI's Scott, with help from Barry and other relatives, had pieced together at least a portion of Rustbacher's remarkable travels. Hatton says, well, it shouldn't have been difficult if everything was either told to them or they were actually present. Quote, on July 31st, in the VIP room at Castle, Scott arrested Rustbacher on charges of impersonating a federal prosecutor. Hatton says, more incredible chutzpah and temerity. Russ Barker was sentenced to 15 to 20 months in federal prison. Hatton says, I wonder if that arrest was actually relative to the fact that the military intelligence agency had refused to give its blessings on Mr. and Mrs. Russ Barker's wedding. Golly, what poor sports. Or could it be that they were nervous about this imposter's influence on the widow of a very high-ranking naval officer? My, it is hard to sort this Peter Sellers escapades. How do you impersonate a federal prosecutor? Do you check this out with one of the elite club of the Bar Association private membership club? Do you catch him prosecuting or defending something or another? How do you impersonate a federal prosecutor? Quote, they, the Air Force, realized it was pretty lax of them because of not wanting to ruffle feathers, Scott said. Hatton says, no comment. Aren't you glad this criminal and his bride were not burying nuclear warheads? Quote, after his federal prison term, Russ Barker was returned to St. Charles. His probation finally was revoked, and he was committed to the Missouri prison system for 21 years. Anton says, for what? Impersonating a military officer? It would appear to me that ones around him were impersonating or were legitimately stupid idiots. The only one, I guess, worthy of being recognized as the officer quality personage was the imposter. What does that say? For your mighty warrior protector. Now you get 21 years, actually not for impersonating an officer or thieving military jets, but for writing himself a $2,000 check. Still not curious? CIA connection? This is quoting. To Ray Rusbacher, the fact that her husband was twice admitted to secure military installations merely bolsters her story that he was a deep cover CIA officer whose deeds were so politically combustible that he had to be completely discredited. Quote, the only way people can dismiss it is to say that we are absolute liars, Ray Rusbacher said. Is he CIA? David Whipple, executive director of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, Anton says, don't know about Whipple, but this must be an authentic association because George Green is a member of the same association. Says, quote, it's not a bad cover because it's very difficult to verify. If you say you are CIA and the CIA says nothing, it rather sustains the legend. However, he said he didn't recognize Rusbacher's name. Anton says, oh my gosh. Is the light breaking with the need for this smear campaign? Surely our old buddies George Green and Gary Anderson, who were involved in all sorts of mail fraud and other criminal activities in the Chicago area, wouldn't have any reason to also want Rusbacher kept behind bars or away from their little scroungy bodies. Quote, Harry Reeves of the Naval Investigative Service calls it absolutely ludicrous. Anton says, yes, I'm sure he does. Wait until you hear all about Harry Reeves.
Quote, I'll save it.
The FBI's Scott says, he's a con man from the word go. Anton says, who? Harry Reeves? From the word go? And where have we heard of this FBI Scott? I think you had better go back and check out disinformation from Idaho to Texas and around the FBI globe. Quote, says Greenway, the prosecutor, I can't prove or disapprove his involvement with the CIA, but I would be amazed if the CIA would use someone with his record and psychological profile. You can't believe anything he tells you. He's a liar. Anton says, prosecutor, he can't believe that the CIA would use... Where does this man keep his head buried? What other qualities would better suit deep cover operatives than the qualities exhibited thus far by one imposter Gunther Rusbacher? If your life depended on one or the other of these two people, would you choose this idiot prosecutor or this lying possible agent, Gunther Rusbacher? You had better start thinking about these things because the nerdniks are destroying your world while the agents play. We are out of time to devote to this smear campaign literature. I will close with just a couple of other observations. Nothing is so much as mentioned about anything of merit or importance in any instance in the above. Next, it must be assumed by this rundown that Gunther Rusbacher did, in fact, sit down and pull out his own fingernails, shades of Gordon Liddy, on at least three separate occasions, rendering himself nailless. I would suggest this would require quite a remarkable man, indeed. Further, we are, I suppose, expected to believe he perfected a quintuple heart bypass by himself. Well, he is supposed to have faked heart troubles, and I'm sure no doctor would perform unnecessary open-heart surgery on such a public figure as Gunther Rusbacher. Indeed, a remarkable man. We shall have an elusive interview by phone with the man on speaker this afternoon at approximately 2 p.m. at our gathering. I mention this because I want the intelligent crews to be sure and catch every word of the conversation. I do, however, expect to have the lines left alone, or I shall take great joy in disruption of all your electronic equipment. We must leave this now, Dorm. I appreciate the added burden of work these days, but we're having some good times too, are we not? I ask that this writing be gotten to Perot, Spence, and other parties copied ASAP. Thank you. Salute.
Thank you. Where were two on the tape?
Looks like maybe 10, 15 minutes left.
I'm going to try to wrap it up in that 10 to 15 minutes. I don't want to cut this meeting short, but we had 5.5 hours straight yesterday. And I have a tired stride. I don't want to get much off the subject. Is there anything that anyone would like to ask or comment on? I do have one other comment to make, and it regards a different party. So, unless there's something...
Yes, Commander.
Yes.
The effects of Neutron, Griskin, all those kind of painkillers, how's that affect the region?
Not a lot. Surprisingly enough, not a lot. Aspirin, of course, regardless of what they tell you, they tell you lies to ensure that you buy these other products and more expense. Aspirin is salicylic acid. It is from the bark of the white willow. It is a very natural substance. It can be, because it is an acid product, and used in great dosages, annoying to your stomach. However, the acid already in your stomach is so magnificent that I cannot imagine that you would have to really overdose on aspirin to really create much of a problem. And that can be tempered by simply eating an antacid with the aspirin, because it is a most valuable one agent that you can intake. They don't really want you intaking it. You will have other things present in some of the other products that will lower that frequency. But because you do have aspirin available, I'm not going to bother to go into doing anything about that. All you have to do is quit taking it. Or if it is not bothering you, take it and enjoy. I really see absolutely no reason for you to either become addicted to painkillers simply because you overtake, or do I think it wise to not take what is available when your head hurts. That, to me, is the difference in explanation between stupid and foolish. By all means, I would take quite a lot. I don't have hair. I have had teeth. And in my older age, I know what you're thinking. I would take at least 3 aspirin with an antacid, a good strong one, each time. Or I would take 3 of your heavier duty ones. You can get them buffered. You know, they keep upping it on you so that those little 10-milligram suckers won't do much. I would suggest, if you are in pain, take 3 of the 500. It may make your ears ring, but around this community, what difference does it make? I want to make a statement about Schrafer, because we're going to be hearing a little bit about him, and I want to tell Gene right up front, I want him cautioned to keep his mouth shut, he is telling some really incredibly ridiculous, absurd, almost as crazy as his paper that we just read stories. He's going to tell everybody that he was taken out of that place aboard something like an American Airlines plane or something. He was taken somewhere. It was not an American Airlines plane. He was taken out of there. He was taken somewhere, and he was returned, and I'm not going to comment further on it. I would like for him to be quiet. The man is not who he appears to be. He never has been. He knows it. He was an unknown presence in the United Nations and was written up in many, many, many documents. Most ones talking to him will think he is an absolute crackpot nut. It is very hard in his later on confusion not to believe it to be so. And yet, as he has grown more and more aged, and more things have come upon him to confuse his mind, he will be talking about it more, and it will sound crazy to you, when actually it is the absolute truth. It does not, however, help his cause to go and tell the doctors these things. So as long as you can keep it relatively confined until he is out of there, I would suggest that Gene caution Gordon to ignore those things. I don't know how you do that with an attorney, but try. We have a problem, and we must handle it very carefully, or John will do himself in. And yet he is better than he has been in a very long time. And when we can get him out of that place and back into an existence where he can function properly, then it will be fine. The efforts will be to retain conservatorship over this man in some manner. The obvious thing is to allow no conservatorship over him unless he specifically says, I'm going to temporarily make the Constitutional Law Center, I believe, is the one to do it, conservator, in the area where he would prefer to be. If he chooses to make his brother up north conservator, then he should be placed with brother. You don't have time. Hear me right now and know that I will be very, very upset about this. If you ones take on the responsibility while another holds all the puppet strings, it is unacceptable. You do not have time. John does not have time. And that means that he must really need a conservator to go ask for one. He will be desperate. He wants out. He wants to come home. And home does not mean with brother who ignored him. Home does not mean with son and nephew who ignored him. In his time of need, absolutely denied him and joined forces with his incarcerators. And this is a choice that everyone must make. And I make it. As far as I'm concerned about my people that work here, I will not allow them to take this responsibility. If it can be worked out so that he can come home and be placed wherever is necessary for a few days until he can be moved back into his property, into his home, because there is ample room for one or two to live in with him and care for him, and then Audrey can make licensed medical visits to him. Nothing has to go into conservatorship except a power of attorney that allows someone to write checks on his account. You see, nobody wants to let go of his money. And unless he can get conservatorship for himself, others hold his pension, his Social Security, everything the man owns. It is unacceptable. so we'll take it from there. I just wanted you once to realize that there are going to be some far-out stories, and they're true. And you may as well get used to the fact that I'm far out. And on that, I believe I'll leave. It was a good one. Not too funny, but good.
Yeah. How about one concept for the road?
All right.
Pro-Semite. Pro-Semitic. That's it.
Everybody get it. Let's go pro. We are the Semites, my friends. I don't care whether you're Hebrew, Judean. We all stem from Shem. That's a good one, too. Shem stems. Shalom.